Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we're very pleased to welcome Michael Rubin of the American Enterprise Institute. Michael, the Prime Minister of Israel, Mr. Netanyahu, is due into Washington in several days to address a joint session of Congress. What are we listening for after these 9 or 10 months of war fighting? What is the Prime Minister's mission to the Congress? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Look, the Prime Minister should be making the case that Israel is the canary in the coal mine in defense of Western liberalism and democracy. What we should be looking for is further American commitment to Israel. The worst sign would be if the personality of Benjamin Netanyahu becomes a political football and a distraction where we no longer see the forest through the trees and we get distracted from just the civilizational battle in which we are, which we now find ourselves.
Malcolm?
You have written a very important article, which underscores some research findings that we've had about the growth of anti-Hindu feeling on our campuses in America, paralleling the rise of anti-Semitism. But you write about the role of human rights organizations in the West and their deep-seated anti-Indian bias. How do these undermine their credibility? What can you elaborate a little bit on some of the areas and the issues that seem to drive this bias?
Look, the big picture is what happens with Israel doesn't stay with Israel, and our obsessions with Israel among those we see protesting on college campuses, human rights groups, and so forth can have tremendously negative ramifications. Just backtracking one moment, if we slow roll aid to Israel as they fight terror, what that does is signal to Taiwan, to South Korea, even to Japan, that they can't trust the United States. They have to go nuclear. Now, when it comes to the human rights issue, one thing I know the Indians are concerned about is if Hamas can get away with raiding southern Israel, killing 1,200 plus people, taking hostages, what message does that send to the Pakistanis who might be doing the same thing or envisioning the same thing with their proxy groups, their terrorist groups, with regard to Kashmir or with regard to the Punjab? So, and then when you have human rights groups that come in and like to be unquestioned arbiters and dictators, but are tremendously compromised, subjective rather than objective. You have the American Friends Service Committee, the Quaker organization, for example, that wants people to believe that it should be the judge and jury, but they don't want people to remember that they once shilled for the Khmer Rouge, this murderous group that killed more than 1 million people in Cambodia. I've been to Kashmir. I've seen the progress there. The fact that people are now out and about in the streets. We don't understand that the human rights groups are basically becoming political shills, political covers for much more malign ideologies. And honestly, we should call them out on it. We shouldn't take them at their word anymore.
The apparent friction between Washington and Jerusalem these last 9 or 10 months about shipments, but also about direction of the hostage negotiation or the talk of ceasefire, has that ebbed in your measure, Michael? Is that no longer primary because the Gaza fighting seems to be winding down?
You know, the Chinese Communist Party talks about a 100-year marathon. When we look at the United States and European reaction to the war against Hamas, it seems clear that we get winded after 100 days. And that's not a good look if our goal is to defeat terrorism. The fact of the matter is that even though we are now not announcing it publicly, while Israel is in the fight of its life against Hamas, and as the fight against Hezbollah looms, it almost seems like there's a quiet embargo underway against Israel. Now, compare this to 1973 during the Richard Nixon administration, when in the wake of the Yom Kippur War, we had Operation Nickelgrass to resupply Israel. That should be front and center because it not only does good for Israel's fight against terror, our fight against terror, but it also signals to terrorists that the West will stand with each other in solidarity, and we're not going to sacrifice democracies here or there simply because we get too tired.
Malcolm?
You assess the real motives of the Iranian reformists. Do you and think that it's part of a charade to mislead the West without any real change? Can you elaborate on that, and especially now the direction that Iran will take in terms of the election and the, quote, reformer that got elected who is anything but?
Well, absolutely. Look, we talk about reformers versus hardliners, but the thing to understand is that they are a tiny fraction on one extreme spectrum of Iranian political opinion. The problem is that the 98% of the rest of Iranian political opinion we're not allowed to hear because Iran doesn't have free and fair elections. Remember, they handpick the candidates that can run. It would be like if the Soviet Union had elections, but only Central Committee members of the Communist Party were allowed to run. The way I tend to look at the hardliners versus reformers isn't that they differ substantively. They differ in style. It's a case of good cop, bad cop. But when you think about that good cop, bad cop analogy, the good cop is after the same aim as the bad cop. He just has different tactics in trying to achieve it. So let's think about the nuclear program, for example, or the Woman Life Freedom Movement. How many reformers do you know that resigned in protest to the brutality against Iranian women back in 2022 and 2023? The answer is zero. And when it comes to the nuclear program, let's not forget that under the nuclear program, it increased exponentially under Mohammad Khatami, the so-called reformist president, the Dialogue of Civilizations guys, because as his press advisor said, we have one strategy, which was to tell the West what they wanted to hear. And when they let their guard down, we had our other strategy, which was to import everything we needed for our special program. If you want to look at Amnesty International statistics, the rate of capital punishment of executions in Iran skyrockets under the reformists. My interpretation of that is that the Iranians are signaling, the Iranian regime is signaling, you know, this reform is for export only. Look at what we're doing to the Iranian people, and that will show you where we're really at.
Michael, you mentioned Hezbollah. We've heard repeatedly over these last weeks they cannot be left at the border for fear of another October 7th. Can Hezbollah be pushed back past the Litani River without major war fighting? Can that be negotiated?
I don't think it can be negotiated, quite honestly, simply because we've lost our authority to negotiate because we have set an example in which we will talk a good game but allow ourselves to be pushed back to death by a thousand paper cuts and so forth. And because of that, we tend to lose credibility. But let's also remember that Israel effectively is already at war. Tens of thousands of Israelis have been forced to flee because of near constant Hezbollah attacks. No country on earth besides Israel would be expected to put up with such things. The problem with trying to negotiate this and worrying and hand-wringing about the major impact of war is it leads to self-deterrence. And rather than bring peace, self-deterrence only encourages adversaries. Iran believes they can get away with murder by using Hezbollah. And while a lot of people, when we go back to, in June, with regard to the Iranian attack on Israel, said, look at Israel's air defenses. Only 7 missiles got through out of more than 300 fired. That's not exactly deterrence, because if those missiles had chemical, nuclear, or biological warheads, 7 out of 300 would be devastating. And unfortunately, that's the lesson which Hezbollah and Iran have learned.
Malcolm, we have less than a minute.
The role of Western journalists and the think tanks critically accepting these labels. Is there any way that we can get a more balanced presentation about the status of human rights, directions that the countries are really going in?
You know, I think we simply got to call out these human rights groups and these organizations that put on the mantle of progressivism and humanity, but stand for anything but. And going back to your previous question about Hindu phobia, we're going to have a test case back in September. We're in the pause, because as soon as September rolls around and the universities restart, we're going to see the campus protests restart. The human rights groups chime in. We're going to see anti-Semitism. We're going to see Hindu phobia. We're going to see anyone demonized who opposes Islamism and the Islamist vision that is perpetrated by groups like Hamas and Hezbollah. We've got to be prepared, and we can't let Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International be our country's useful idiots.
Michael Rubin, American Enterprise Institute, Malcolm Holmline. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.